الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون، نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون، نزلا من غفور رحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Peace and salutations be upon our noble master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Rabbul Izzat, through his mercy, Allah Rabbul Izzat, through his kindness, Allah Rabbul Izzat, through his infinite generosity, has made us from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah, this is not just words to start a bayan or some sort of formality, but we make dua that Allah give us the reality of these words. Many places in the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala tells us about the plight of the disbeliever. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Allah says that what will the disbeliever say on the day of Qiyamah? لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. If only we had to listen to the Anbiya. If only we had to listen and apply ourselves. If only we had to think and apply our mind and our logic that Allah Ta'ala gave us. مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. We wouldn't have been people of Jahannam. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ. Allah Ta'ala is saying on the day of Qiyamah, the disbeliever, they would be prepared to give this entire world filled with gold. مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ. In exchange for iman. So then in Surah, فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ. Allah says, it will never, ever, ever be accepted from them. By Allah, my respected brothers and elders, this moment that we are spending in iman, sitting in the house of Allah Rabbul Izzat, how valuable it is, our heart and mind will never understand. Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you have to count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا تُحْصُوهَا, you'll never be able to enumerate them. Our mind, when we hear favor, our mind goes to worldly things. Yes, those are great favors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. To have rizq, to have house, to have car, all this, definitely those are favors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the greatest favor Allah confers upon us is that Allah has made us ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has blessed us with this wealth of iman. My respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us so beautifully in the Quran, addressing us people of iman. Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَأَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Understand, Quran is Kalamullah. Quran is the words of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Quran there is a tone also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking with so much of love. Allah ta'ala is addressing the people of iman. A direct message to us Allah is giving us. Allah says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَأَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Has the time not come? Has the time not come for the people of iman to surrender this heart of theirs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has the time not come for the believers to give themselves over, to hand themselves over, to give this heart of theirs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed? Then Allah ta'ala says to us, وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Now look at the way Allah is advising us, how much of love and muhabbat Allah is speaking in the words of Allah. Allah says, don't become like the people of the book. How fortunate is the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah gave us the opportunity to learn from the mistakes of the previous ummahs. Allah says, don't become like the people of the book. What was their mistake? طَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ. Allah said that they delayed in this matter. Fasirun explain in which matter did they delay. They delayed in the matter of connecting themselves to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They delayed in the matter of listening to Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam and fulfilling the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They delayed in the matter of what? Making this heart of theirs surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This heart of ours belongs to Allah. What was the result of it? This delaying in this matter, Allah Ta'ala said, فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The direct result of delaying was that their hearts became hard. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Allah said, and the result of this hard-heartedness was, most of them became such that they openly became flagrant sinners. They openly broke the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But Allah's mercy, Allah Ta'ala gives us and Allah Ta'ala diagnoses for us what is our issue. You went to the doctor told you exactly what's wrong with you. And the doctor will tell you, okay, you need to do this and you need to do that. Quran is telling us, Allah Ta'ala is highlighting for us that our heart has become dead. Our heart and our soul has become dead. Allah is telling us, what will liven the soul? What will liven this heart? اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها. Allah says, it is Allah who brings the earth back to life when this earth is dead. Fasirun explain what it means, that when a person will call to Allah, when a person will make his eating, his sleeping, his walking, his talking, his looking and his seeing, and every moment of his life, Allah, then this will be a means of bringing this heart of his back to life. See, so beautifully Allah Ta'ala explains to us about Allah's power and Allah's might. Allah Ta'ala says, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sends water from the sky. هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who sends water from the sky. Allah gives man this example, that man understand you are dead. What is going to bring you back to life? Ta'alluq ma'allah, connection with Allah, relationship with Allah. Allah, 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 our living and our dying. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillah. A believer's every move is only for Allah. Allah gives us this example that man, open your heart and mind and understand Allah's system. Allah is saying that this earth is dead. And we know the earth is dead. We walk on the land, you walk on earth, it's dead. But Allah says, look at Allah's system. It is Allah who sent water from the sky. Who sent the water? Allah sent the water. Allah says, when this water which Allah sends comes onto this earth which is dead, then what is the result of it? يُنْبِتُ لَكُمْ بِهِ الزَّرْعَ وَالزَّيْتُونَ وَالنَّخِيلَ وَالْأَعْنَابَ وَمِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, when this water which Allah sent, which Allah has created, the previous verses to that, Allah reminds us, Allah said, insan, Allah gave you this water. Such water Allah gave you, you drink it. شَرَابٌ لَكُمْ. You drink it. Not only do you drink it, you irrigate your plants with it, you irrigate your crops with it. And then also use the same water, Allah Ta'ala says, to feed your animals. And Allah Ta'ala beautifully in Surah An-Nahl and other places as well, Allah Ta'ala tells us of Allah's creation and Allah's power and Allah's might, and how Allah made all these creation for the benefit of man. Again, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, these are Allah's signs for a people and a nation who's going to make fikr and ponder. What are they going to make fikr and ponder of? Over Allah's greatness, over Allah's majesty, over Allah's kindness, over Allah's generosity. So Allah says that this water, when it mixes with this dead earth, then Allah's power and Allah's might, Allah brings this earth to life. And what does this earth give? يُنْبِتُ لَكُمْ بِهِ الزَّرْعَ وَالزَّيْتُونَ وَالنَّخِيلَ وَالْأَعْنَابِ وَمِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah says, your farming, your vineyards, your date palms, and all different types of fruit. Ulama say a ajeeb thing. You see, Allah Ta'ala tells us about the fruit, and Allah Ta'ala's vegetation. And the system of Allah is that you get two types of crops, and two types of vegetation, and two types of plantations, if you want to take it from a very simple angle. One is that which needs the farmer's help and the farmer's assistance so that the crop can be good and the crop can grow. The farmer needs to irrigate the land and the farmer needs to plow the land and the farmer needs to see that whatever is needed for those plants to grow, the plants must grow. That is called effort. We'll come back to that. And the other is in the jungle, the same fruit may grow, fruit which is grown by the farmer. In the jungle also, there is nobody there to cultivate it. But if you walk, you'll find the fruit. That is Allah's plantation. Allah Ta'ala made the intizam for it, then it happened. Both ways, Allah is in total control. But we hear from ulama a very important point here, is that Allah's general system is for hidayat. If Allah wants to give somebody, yudilu may yasha wa yahdi may yasha, Allah will give just that also. Somebody may see a dream, or somebody may just wake up, and Allah puts the thought and heart in his mind that you should accept the deen of Allah and you should be guided. That is Allah's, that is the mashiyat and the desire of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the sunnatullah and the general way of Allah is that a person has to make effort. And this was the way of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. The general masses, effort has to be made on this iman. Constant effort, constant effort, constant effort. Putting ourselves in the environment of qala Allah, qala Rasul. Putting ourselves in the environment that is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't put ourselves in the environment of da'wat, where we're giving da'wat and listening to da'wat, then da'wat of other things will be given to us. That is the system of Allah. That is the system of the world. That is how the system is running. If a person puts himself in the right environment. So these verses of Quran, Allah is telling us that this heart of ours is dead. And the way to bring this heart of ours alive is to bring da'wat, calling to Allah, speaking of Allah, inviting to Allah, bringing the ahkam and command of Allah, making it muqaddam, making it the first and foremost and most important thing in our life. When the command of Allah will take precedence in a man's life, and we'll find no matter what the challenge is, he'll navigate through it. The greatest example for us is the life of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. If you look at Quran Kareem, when you take the tarteeb of Quran, again we hear from the ulama, generally you'll find in the Meccan surahs, meaning those surahs which were revealed before the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then very often towards the end of the surah, you'll find that very specific nasiha and advice Allah Ta'ala gives to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam strength, to give Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that courage. So for example, in Surah Hud, towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after mentioning the incidents of all the different anbiya alayhi salatu wa Surah Hud got the different incidents of all the different anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, all their challenges, how the anbiya gave da'wat, and how the people, what they did to the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, how they caused harm to the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, how the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam persevered. Then towards the end of the surah, Allah advises Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, وَكُلَّن نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. That, oh Nabi, we gave you all of this, we mentioned all of this, نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, to make your heart strong, to make your heart firm. So similarly, if that was for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even a higher level for us, what will we get when we read the lessons of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? The heart of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was already so strong, because the, from all the hearts that Allah created, the strongest heart was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah is saying to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you will read and we will reveal to you the incidents of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, this will make your heart firm. This will make your heart strong. Meaning, it will increase your yaqeen on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Come to the end of Surah An-Nahl, for example, it's a Meccan surah. Towards the end of the surah, after Allah ta'ala makes mention of all the different favors that Allah ta'ala has given insan, Allah ta'ala says all the different bounties Allah ta'ala has given us. Example, Allah ta'ala says regarding the water I just mentioned now. Allah ta'ala tells us regarding milk, a commodity which we use all of the time. وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةٍ نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهِمْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Every day we use milk, either in your tea, some people drink it like a meal, some people, milk is regarded as a meal. Such was the commodity of milk that Nabi SAW would read, Dua Allahumma barik lana fi wazid namino. How many narrations Nabi SAW would say, the Sahaba were hungry. Nabi SAW himself was hungry. Abu Huraira Allahu says, a bowl of milk would come. And some narrations, Nabi SAW would tell everybody to drink. And Abu Huraira say, I'm giving everybody and I'm waiting when my turn is going to come. And there were other times where Nabi SAW said, Abu Huraira, drink first. Nevertheless, the point is, milk is a very important part of the life of man. Allah tells us about this milk. Allah says, who gave you this milk? Insan, have you ever pondered? Yatafakkarun, have you ever thought? Has the thought ever crossed your mind about the power and the might and the glory of Allah, that an animal which you are using for your benefit, the cow, the camel, the goat, different animals that give milk, and we use the milk and we take benefit from the milk, the ox, the buffalo, the milk that comes from these animals, Allah Ta'ala is saying, think about it, ponder and think. Between blood and filth, between blood, red, filth, generally it's a dark color, black or brown. Allah says, Allah in His majesty, Allah in His power, Allah in His might, Allah in His glory, Allah in His mercy, Allah in His kindness, for the benefit of insan, for the benefit of man, Allah says, Allah Ta'ala takes out pure milk, sa'igan lisharibin, which is soothing and comforting to the person who is going to drink that milk. And there's different examples Allah Ta'ala gives in this particular surah. Allah Ta'ala tells us that if you have to count the favors of Allah, you'll never be able to enumerate it. But in the end of the surah, the advice Allah gives to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says, ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikma wal mu'idhatil hasan. Dawat. You just continue giving and calling towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Surah Al-Hijr. In this surah also, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the different tests and trials and tribulations Anbiya Alayhi Salatu Wasalam go through. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the people of Thamud and Nabi Salih Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Different incidents. What advice Allah gives to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Specific advice Allah is giving to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we ponder over all these different advices that Allah is giving to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'll find that actually it is advice for us. Allah Ta'ala addresses Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with such compassion. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. The responsibility and the task of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wasn't an easy task. It was a mammoth task. It was a very, very difficult task. Yet, with the difficulty of the task, in Hajjatul Wada, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba, he said, أَلَا هَلْ بَلَّغْتُ. And all of them said, yes, definitely, O Nabi of Allah, you fulfill this task. But imagine for a moment what was the emotional difficulty, the physical challenge and difficulty that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to face on a daily basis in Makkah al-Mukarramah. People who you know, people who you interacted with for 40 years, people who regarded you as the most trustworthy and truthful, people who would leave their trust and amanat with you, overnight you became the arch enemy. Not just an enemy, but whoever they would meet also, they would speak ill about Rasulullah. To the blessed face of Rasulullah. We heard this hadith many times from this mimbar. We would have heard this hadith many times. It's easy to say it, easy to mention this hadith. By Allah, it's very easy to mention it. But for a moment, think if it was us in the place of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The narrator said, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was inviting people towards Allah, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا, say, La ilaha illallah, you'll be successful. فمنهم من تفل في وجهه ومنهم من حث التراب ومنهم من سبه. There were those that would swear Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah forgive us, today we're so weak. Somebody tell us one small thing, we won't talk to that person our whole life. We'll probably ignore that person, we won't look at him, we'll look in a different direction. Sometimes maybe our own brother also, sometimes maybe our own sister also, maybe our own, sometimes mother and child, father and son. Some small little altercation, we'll ignore that person for life, we won't go back. Yet they openly swearing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith say there were those that would pick up sand and throw it at the blessed face of Rasulullah. I'm saying it's easy for me to say it. Very easy to talk. Very easy to sit here and tell you this hadith. Very easy for you to sit and listen to it. What must have been the heart of Rasulullah? That Allah had to tell him, وَلَقَدَ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. That we know, oh our Habib, oh our beloved, we know. We know the pain that is going through your heart by their words and their statements. Allah says, we know, we understand. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَفَلَ فِي وَجْهِ. And he said, there were those that would spit at the blessed face of Rasulullah. I was mentioning to the Satis the other day, in the masjid as well, that so often we speak about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's journey and incident when he went to Taif. When he went to Taif, not just physically, but emotionally also they abused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The words that were spoken to Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam. As I said, somebody just tells us something, what effect it has on us. And who he thinks, he doesn't know who I am. How can he say that to me? How can he speak like that to me? This was the Nabi of Allah. The greatest of Allah's creation. What words they said to Rasul. And ponder this, think about this, that when they stoned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he took refuge in the garden, then the enemy, who was his enemy in Makkah, that was his garden, even he couldn't bear the sight of what happened to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the enemy. But even his heart couldn't manage it, that he had to say to Adas, let's take these grapes, please go and comfort this person. At that time the enemy would say, here's the opportunity, let us finish him off. But such was the pain that they caused to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah is saying, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَدِيكُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Allah gives special advice to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Don't worry, you continue, O Nabi of Allah. You just continue singing the praises of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You continue making the tasbih of the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Wa kum mina sajidin. And when it becomes difficult, turn your attention to Allah through salah. Today the Ummah is going through so much of pareshan. Who is there to teach the Ummah and say to the Ummah that our solution lies in turning to Allah? No one can help us. No one's help and assistance can help us. Imagine a young Abdullah bin Abbas. Allah brothers, we heard this hadith many, many times. And we have to hear it over and over and over again. So the yaqeen of it can come in our heart. 13 years of age maybe. Young Abdullah bin Abbas. What did Nabi Sallam say to him? He said, O Ibn Abbas, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, ask only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. When you seek help only from Allah. No one else can help you. No one on the surface of the earth can do any good for you. Nobody can help you. Nobody can assist you. Your help and your assistance is only with Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is fashioning the mind of a 13-year-old. Because this was the responsibility of Anbiya Alayhim Salatu Wasalam. To connect humanity and to connect mankind and to connect whoever they came into contact with, you must be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ يَنْفَعُكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا قَدْ كَتَبَهَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. O Ibn Abbas, if the whole world, if everybody has to gather and they all have to try and benefit you in any way, nobody can benefit you in any way. Nobody can benefit you to an iota also. Except to the decree that Allah has decreed. And the whole world, if they want to harm you also, they cannot harm you except to the decree that Allah Ta'ala has decreed. So this was Allah's advice to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَدِيكُ الصَّدُّكَ. This is Surah Al-Hijr towards the end of it. Then you come to Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf, what beautiful advice Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives Nabi Sallallahu towards the end of the surah.
قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ.
That say to them, this is my way. Ye mera rasta hai. This is my way. What is my way? Now, for example, when you want to show that something is yours, ye mera beta, my son. Somebody asks you, yeah, my son, he didn't say, I never asked you for that. He's telling us whose son it is. But with so much of pride, naturally, because you want to show that ownership, that link, that relationship, standing next to one Porsche or something, somebody asks you, your car is yours. You say, yeah, my car. Can go so many kilometers per hour, and you only ask whose car by. Same Quran says, yeah, mera hadhihi sabili. This is my way. Ad'u ila Allah. I invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala basiratin. أنا ومن اتبعني. على بصيرة العلماء tell us it means, as you take foresight, that is the tarjuma, but the tafsir of it is with yaqeen and conviction. With firm yaqeen and conviction that my way is the way of Allah. That if I stick on this way and I stick on this path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely there is guidance and hidayat. Not only for me and whoever will follow me as well. Another says that لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ إِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. That in the life of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam is ibrat for the people of intelligence. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, while we are mentioning him, such a beautiful, important lesson as the Nabi, many, many lessons he gives us. In his early life, ulama tell us, if you analyze the life of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then you can draw many, many parallels. As I said, in the beginning of Rasulullah's life was a very, very difficult. The 13 years of Makkah was very hard. Hard in the sense that the very people that were close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the Meccan scenario and scene, most of them were family. It came from one tribe, Quraysh. And Quraysh had its different offshoots, Banu Hashim, etc. Many of them were linked, interlinked, intermarried. There was close relation, close connection. The very same close ones had turned against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Quran tells us, "Tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab." That was the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in his beginning life, it was his own brothers that couldn't handle the fact that Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was showing a little bit of extra care. And ulama tell us also, the Mufassirin explain, why was this the case? He was younger than them. He was younger than his brothers. So naturally a father will show a little bit of care to the younger children. And the older children, the older siblings, we're mentioning this because when it comes to Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, then we must hold every Nabi in the highest regard. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is a Nabi of Allah. So it won't be possible that a Nabi of Allah will be unfair in his dealings. No, that's why the Mufassirun explained this point so clearly. They were older, they were much older. They can't remember how the father cheated them when they were young. If any one of us is 1 year, 2 year, 3 years old, aren't we going to remember how our father held us, carried us? We're not going to remember it. So they felt this way. So what they did, they obviously showed their biasness towards Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through that challenge and the difficulty. They took him and they threw him in the well. And then he was found. And then he was taken to Egypt. But a few ajib things when he was taken to Egypt. And this is the important lessons we learn from the life of Anbiya. When Allah Ta'ala tells us that Anbiya take lesson from their life. Take lesson from the life of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? They were the chosen servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they had the closest ta'alluq and relationship with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So if we will mold our life on the life of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, then we also will be protected. So when Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam came to Egypt, and he was taken, and he was placed in the home of the minister, then he went through certain tests, trials and tribulations. And in all these tests, he came out on top. What was the fundamental reason, ulama tell us? They say because his relationship with Allah was very, very strong. So the first test to mention, when Zulaikha seen Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and she was taken aback by the beauty of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Quran makes mention of this as well. وَرَاوَدَتُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِي عَن نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. So she called him and she locked all the doors. And she wanted to do what she wanted to do. What was the response of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? Ulama say at that time, when a man is tested, when a man goes through a test and now is on the brink, that if I go a little bit on either side, I can fall into the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. At that time, where does his heart go? At that time, where does his mind go? What does he think of? Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's response was what? Ma'ad Allah. Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwa'i. Innahu la yuflihu dhalimun. Immediately his mind and his heart and his soul went to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Ma'ad Allah. The protection of Allah I seek. Rozuleka, I seek the protection of Allah tabarak. And every person at some stage in our life will go through some test, some trial, some tribulation, something that will take us towards the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, something that will take us towards breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is going to be our protection at that time? If we don't have ta'alluq ma Allah, if we don't have relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then to slip can become very easy. But if a person's ta'alluq with Allah is strong, like Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say? Ma'ad Allah. Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwa'i. That indeed my Rabb has been very good to me, very, very kind to me. Obviously the Mufassirun explained, he can have two meanings. Either he's making direct reference to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he also is making reference to this, that the minister took me in his home, and he showed kindness to me, he showed gratitude to me. How can I then, be such? How can I be a person who just takes, and when the time comes to deliver, then I go in a different direction? How can it be that I forget the goodness and the kindness that he showed to me, and I do a wrong with his wife also? How can I do something? But ulama tell us, on account of his ta'alluq with Allah, he was saved. Then Mufti Shafi Sahib mentions a very important, beautiful point that we can take from his life, that he taught us that in the life of a believer, Dawat ila Allah will take preference over everything. Yusuf alayhi salam was taken now when he was put in jail. We're not going to go into the whole incident, the lengthy incident. As I said, one or two things to mention, and we can take lesson for it for our own self. When Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was put in the jail, then two people came to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and they said to Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, look, we had a dream, and we want you to give an interpretation of the dream. We want you to give an interpretation of the dream. So Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, before giving them the interpretation of the dream, what did he do? He said, Ya sahiba yisijni, a'arbabun mutafarniqun khayrun amillahul wahidul qahhar. Ma ta'budun. The first thing he did was, before giving them the interpretation, is that he gave them dawat towards the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He invited them towards worshipping only one Allah. And he explained very clearly who he is, and what is his position, and where he hails from. That me and my forefathers and my grandfather and all of us, we worship only one Allah. We don't associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dawat ila Allah was given very, very clearly. So Mufti Shafi Sahib in Ma'riful Quran writes that a very important lesson we take from this great Nabi, that in the life of a believer, dawat must always take preference. Before anything, a person must be prepared and ready to invite towards the greatness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And he says that this is such a great amal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no stage is required, no somebody to come and just one MC now to bring you, and everybody must say this is so and so. No stage is required, no announcing of anything is required, no big audience is required also. It is such a great amal, and this was the amal of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. that every believer can give dawah to whoever he is, wherever he is, to whoever he is around. He can invite towards the greatness of Allah. Khair said this was the life of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. There's many, many more things, but we're not going to go into that whole incident. It's a lengthy incident. You are making this point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us in the Quran Kareem that the time has come. The time has come for you now to surrender. And do not be those who would cause a delay. Those who would procrastinate. Don't be like those who would delay in this matter. Because the result of it is فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that the heart of a person will become hard. And when the heart of a person becomes hard, the result of it is it takes him towards fisk. Takes him towards openly breaking the command of Allah. So Allah has put us on this earth with a purpose. And this purpose is to connect ourselves and to connect the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That incident of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we heard it many times as I said, the Banu Abasa tribe. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the season of Hajj, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the different tribes, and he would invite the people towards Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this one particular tribe, the Banu Abs tribe, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started speaking to them. So, there was a young person by the name of Maysara bin Masruq. Young person by the name of Maysara bin Masruq. And this Maysara took great effect from the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallam recited the Quran to him. He was greatly, greatly affected. And he showed keenness to accept the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went to his people and he said, look, I've heard the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what this person is saying, there's a great effect in it, and I can see that his words, O kama qal, to this effect, he mentioned to his people, I can see that this person's words is going to be very far reaching, and many, many people are going to accept his message. I think we should be amongst the first people. We shouldn't delay in this matter. We should accept this message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his people told him, no, we're not interested. So Nabi said, he comes back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this, you know, he was very enthusiastic. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this hope and this desire on this Maysara bin Masruq that he's going to accept the message. But he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually and he said, look, I heard your message. I'm very moved by your message. I love what I heard. But unfortunately, I'm just a young person. And my people, they don't want to accept. They're not interested in listening to this message. And they won't take me seriously. So it was unfortunate at that time that they didn't accept the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it so happened that on their way back home, now the different tribes would come to Makkah Mukarramah. And after the Hajj season, they would return. So on their way back home, they had to pass through the town of Fidak. And Fidak was a town where many of the Yahudi scholars used to be. So this youngster said to them, he said, look, we are here in this town now. Here's the scholars. Why don't we go and approach them and tell them with regards to who we met, what was our experience, and take some guidance from them. Let us take some guidance from them and see what they have to tell us, what is the way forward, how are we going to navigate through this situation that we find ourselves in. So they come to the Jewish scholars in Fidak, and the narration mentions that the scholars open up the books, and from there they start to recite the verses which gives the beautiful description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, describes the blessed physical and facial features of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, describes the eyebrows of Rasulullah ﷺ, describes the hair of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and a beautiful description of Rasulullah ﷺ is given. And eventually they explain to these people that look, if this description is befitting to the person that you met, then our advice to you all is go back and accept his message. Because this person is the last and final Nabi. And this person is upon the truth. The only reason why we not accepting his message, the words are there in the narration, is because of our jealousy that we have over him. If it was not for that, we would have also accepted the message. So our advice to you all is go back and accept this message. So it so happened, they said, okay, we won't go now, we're on our way, we'll go the next year. And the next year we will accept the message. When the following year or the next year came, then the leader of the area or the people who was in charge of the area refused them to leave and they were not allowed to go to Makkah Mukarrama. And then it so happened that time passed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made hijrat, he went to Madinah Munawwara. And after Fatih Makkah, after Makkah was conquered, some narrations say it was in the Hajjatul Wada of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meets with Maysara bin Masruq. This young person, he meets with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he asks Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, O Nabi of Allah, do you recognize me? Nabi says, yes, most definitely I recognize you, you're so and so person. So he said that I am that same Maysara I spoke to you on, and this is where we spoke in Mina. Yes, definitely I recognize you. So he said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that everyone who was with us on that time when you spoke to me, all have left this world. I'm the only one that is living. What is the condition of all those people? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him that it is the system of Allah. Whoever leaves this world in the condition that he doesn't have iman, then eternally he will be doomed for the fire of Jahannam. And he makes dua and he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved him, that Allah saved him. And once again he recites the shahada and the narration says that he becomes a great asset to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the lesson that we take from this incident is that we should never delay. We should never ever delay. Because if we delay in matters of goodness, as the ayat of Quran tells us, فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts became hard on account of their delaying. On account of them delaying in the matter of connecting to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in the matter of them delaying in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts became hard. And the result of it was that kathirum minhum fasiq. And in contrast, on the other hand, you take another example of people who didn't delay where it took them. The Ansar of Madinah Munawwara. The Ansar of Madinah Munawwara, 5-6 young people in the very same place where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met Maysara bin Masruq and his people didn't accept the message. The 6 Ansaris of the Aus and Khazraj tribe, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to them, they were moved by the da'wat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And immediately they said, we accept and we invite you, come with us to Madinah Munawwara. Come with us to Madinah Munawwara. We will give you protection. We will look after you. We will give you a place to stay. The enthusiasm, next year they came with 12 people. And day after they came with even more people. And only after Abdullah bin Abbas, only after Abbas radiallahu ta'ala met with them and they gave the assurances, then Allah ta'ala gave permission. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. But Madinah Munawwara became the seat of where deen spread from. Because the Aus and Khazraj put themselves forward. They never delay in matters. So the result of delaying and the result of acting quickly when the opportunity arises, both can never be matched. While we're on the topic of the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara, this seizing the opportunity, this taking the opportunity when it presents itself. We are all sitting here, the opportunity is presenting ourselves to put ourselves forward for the takazas of deen. There was one occasion in Hayatul Sahaba, the narration is there, that the Ansar, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came with an intention that they said, listen, we're having difficulty and we're having problem irrigating our crops. Let's go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and request Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to erect for us an irrigation system. Let's request Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to erect for us, put up for us an irrigation system. So as they're approaching Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the leader of the Ansar is coming and his people are coming with him. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands up and he says, Marhaban bil Ansar, Marhaban bil Ansar. Welcome, O my Ansar. Welcome, O my Ansar. And then Nabi Sassam says that today, whatever the Ansar are going to ask me for, I'm going to give it to them. And over and above that, I'm going to make dua to Allah that whatever they need is, Allah must accept it and Allah must give them whatever they need. Amir said, hold on, stop in your tracks. Such an offer on the table, and we're going to ask for an irrigation system. Can't be possible. Did you hear what Nabi Sam is offering? Saying whatever we want, he's going to give us. And over and above that, he's going to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever they want, Allah must fulfill it. On the spot, they changed the entire intention of what they came for. They said, Nabi of Allah, we came to you to ask you to make dua to Allah that Allah makes our maghfirah, that Allah ta'ala forgives us. The Blessed Prophet lifts his hands. Allahumma ghfir lil ansar, wa li abna'i al ansar, wa li abna'i abna'i al ansar, wa li jirani al ansar. If someone lifts his hands and he makes dua and he says that, oh Allah, forgive the ansar, forgive the children of the ansar, forgive the neighbors of the ansar. So what we learn from the ansar is this again, that when the opportunity arises, we put ourselves forward. We don't delay in matters of deen. Life is very, very short, brothers. We are for a short time. We have to make this life of ours valuable. Because the reality is, and we have to speak about this, because none of us can say we don't get affected by dunya. Every person gets affected by dunya. That is the nature of dunya. Dunya's nature is such that we get affected by it. That's why ulama tell us, negate it. So if we negate it, the love of it can come out of our heart. Because what is the reality of this world? The reality of this world is we've come to go. That reality has to hit our heart. Every one of us have come, and a time has to come when we have to leave this world. Like they say, in everything there's difference of opinion. We know one, two small maslahs, is that how much difference of opinion in everything. But on one thing, there's no difference of opinion. Everybody agrees, even the atheists agree, that you have to die. And what happens after that, a lot of difference of opinion. But to die, there's no difference of opinion. But the reality, brothers, the reality of life is when Allah Ta'ala says to us, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, that this life is but what? دَوْكَ كَاسَمَانِ. It's but a deception. In this world, as we are living, everybody is a someone. Maulana Saab, Mufti Saab, Qari Saab, Doctor Saab, Accountant Saab, whatever. Tijarat Saab, business. Everyone got a portfolio and everybody got something. But the sad and true reality is the moment our eyes close, we are stripped of every single thing. To the extent that we are even stripped of our name. If I have to drop dead now, Allah give us all debt on Iman, Allah give us a good debt in a good place, Allah take us in a condition Allah is pleased with us. And somebody has to phone anyone here, they'll say, where is the body? They won't say, where is Suleiman? They say, where is the body? Now, 5 minutes later, or 1 minute later, or 30 seconds later. If you have to drop dead and somebody has to ask about you, they won't even take your name. They say, where's the body? What time will the body be at the mortuary? Or what time will the body be at the ghusl khana? Has the body reached the ghusl khana? And like how the hadith says, that three things follow a person, his wealth and his family and his amal. Two things return and only one thing remains. Then you'll go to the qabristan, your body will be taken. He'll go to the house, some people will cry, some people will shed a tear. Maybe close family members will cry a bit more. Somebody will ask at the house also, what time is the chow? Where is the chow coming? Who's making the kheer? What are they serving? Kalya, dal and rice, what's it going to be? Everyone will have different. Some people will be in one corner, somebody may be asking what's the score, somebody may be asking what happened to the rand dollar. You know what happened now? The dollar crashed, Kruger coin gone up from 80 grand, it fell to 70. Different discussions will be taking place. And then you'll go to the Qabristan. Some people will be irritated. How long are we waiting? How long are we standing? They never started takbir yet. And different things. And then eventually, the Janaza Salah will be read. The Janaza Salah will be read. Some people will say he was a very good man. Whole time he fought with you. That time he says he's a very good man. Then you'll have those people also say, hold the Janaza, we're coming from Cape Town. when you are alive, never visited you one day, but now you died, everyone is booking flights and they're coming all the way. So all these different things will happen. This is that doke ka saman. This is that mata'ul ghurur. This is the real and true deception that we're all going through on a daily basis. And then eventually, when everybody leaves the qabristan, it is you and your qabr and your Allah and your amal. That is the reality of our life. As I said, in that split moment also, our name will be taken, we'll be stripped of every type of identity, stripped of everything. Maybe some people will speak some good words, good whatever it is. Now in this zamana, maybe one WhatsApp message will come out also, with all your fazilats and all how good you are and whatever have you. And that's it. After 1 week, after 2 weeks, after 3 months, after 1 year, after 5 years, after 50 years, nobody will take your name. That's the end of it. And then the day has to come, which we all have to prepare for, when we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to give an account. That is the reality of this life. Allah Ta'ala put us on this earth so that we can make our akhirat. We are the children of the akhirat. A Muslim and a believer, his entire life has to be programmed for akhirat, because that is the reality. Dunya, we just here. We just here in the transit lounge. Just here for a short while. And when you're in the transit lounge, maybe you'll have a little bit of coffee, and then you check your watch again, it's time to move. It's time to leave because you're going to the next. Similar is this dunya. Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib wa abiru sabil. Live in this world as though you are a traveler or you're a stranger. We are for a moment and then we have to move on. That is the true reality of our life, my beloved brothers. And this talk has left us. This talk of reality has left us. Shortness of this life, vastness of akhirah. That's why that sahabi, we heard the hadith many times, Ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he stood in the court of Rustam, what did he tell him? Ma'ch inna ilayk. We haven't come to you. Allah ta'athana ilayk. Allah ta'ala sent us to you. Ji'na li nukhrij al ibad min ibadati al ibad ila ibadati rabbi al ibad. Allah ta'ala sent us to take mankind out of the servitude of mankind and to put mankind into the servitude of one Allah. We have come with this purpose in life. We have a different direction. Our direction is Allah. Our qibla is Allah. Our focus is Allah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillah. My living and my dying. Everything is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has to be the mindset of a believer. This is the life of a believer. This is the living and the dying of a believer. That everything is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my beloved brothers, talking is not our work, action is our work. As I said, let's not delay. Tashkeel is going to be made. Let us give our names, inshallah. On the first given opportunity to come out 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is ready, inshallah, to give our names to come out in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Let us all look at our heart and make firm yaqeen and firm intention to come out in the path of Allah.
Chalo, brothers. Monana put it so eloquently in front of us, mashallah. Dr. Saab, nakad inshallah, chilla. Who else inshallah?
It is our need, brothers. The need of the mashallah. Hour. Many brothers to come out in the path of Allah.
How many days? 40 days. We're starting with 4 months tashkil. 4 months. Ready? Mashallah. 4 months, mashallah. MashaAllah. 4 months, mashallah. 4 months. MashaAllah. Hafiz Zakaria. Malala, mashallah. 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will see the benefit of the time that we had spent, inshallah. Who else, inshallah? Who else is ready for 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending every day of our time in ibadat, in da'wat, Talim, ta'allum, zikr, ibadat, khidmat. Ji, who else, my dear respected brothers? Let us give our names, inshallah. Now it's high season. The time of the holidays are close. Let us make intention. Those that are completing the schooling also, inshallah. Let us try and come out for our 4 months before we start any career, before we go to any university, so that our life is focused on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Let us give our names, inshallah. Who else? MashaAllah. Suhail, MashaAllah. 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 Allah accept. 4 months, MashaAllah. We go and sit. We go to these countries and sit at the feet of our elders. MashaAllah. Maulana GH, inshallah. Allah accept, Majid. Allah accept. MashaAllah. Muhammad bin Mullah. Who else? So these countries are where we learn with what this effort is of. Stand up. MashaAllah. Jihad. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. What's your name? Sharif. MashaAllah. Peter Marisburg. MashaAllah. Allah accept. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Gora. MashaAllah. Ismail. MashaAllah. Give your name and the masjid you're from also, inshallah. So my dear respected brothers, this 4 months we are giving is for ourselves. That how total deen can come into our lives. MashaAllah, who else? The need of the moment is a jamaat for 4 months pedal. 4 months walking in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, in the Transvaal area there's 5 pedal jamaats operating. So now we need one jamaat, inshallah, to start soon. As soon as possible. ASAP. As soon as possible. For 4 months pedal, walking from town to town, village to village, and only for this reason, Ela e Kalimatillah. Who will start this jamaat, inshallah? Who's ready, inshallah? 4 months pedal, walking, making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah, giving dawah to whoever we meet. That is how the deen of Allah will spread. Haji Bepadi Rahmatullah Ali should say that these walking jamaats are laying the pipes for the cables to go through, so that when the deen of Allah starts to spread, when this light is switched on, then the entire region comes alight. So who's ready, inshallah? Who say we make in time? MashaAllah, stand up, MashaAllah. MashaAllah, Allah accept, MashaAllah. 4 months pedal, MashaAllah. MashaAllah, accept, Allah accept. Who else? MashaAllah. Haji, MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Allah accept, MashaAllah. Chalo, let us give our intention, inshallah. 4 months pedal, it seems so long, but the way the time goes, that 4 months go, you close your eyes, you open your eyes again, 4 months gone. You wonder what happened, how it happened. Ji, MashaAllah, who else? Ji, anybody else, MashaAllah? So we need to complete this jamaat. In a pedal jamaat, minimum 10 satis. Inshallah. Who else said they'll make intention? We make our intention and we leave to Allah. MashaAllah. Brother's name? Ahmad, MashaAllah. Who else? 4 months pedal, my dear respected brothers. 5 sati, 6 sati, MashaAllah. 4 more names, inshallah. 4 more people to make intention for this important takaza. MashaAllah. Allah accept, Mawlana. MashaAllah. Very, very important. The jamaat walks, the rahmat of Allah descends. With each step they take, Allah Ta'ala's mercy is descending. On not only them, but the entire community, the entire country. When the elections were taking place, then elan was made. Everybody needs to come out in pedal jamaat. Walk from place to place and give dawat. So my dear respected brothers, now it's season time. Last year around this time, we took out approximately 100 jamaats. Now any business, if this year's turnover was 100 and next year is 90, what will happen? See, business flopped. Next year must be 200. So now we're making intention for 200 jamaats to come out, inshallah. Now we have to speak masjid-wise, inshallah. Masjid-wise, we need to speak that from our masjid, our halqa, how many jamaats we're taking out. Let us start, my dear respectables. Let us start from one side. MashaAllah. Which masjid make intention, inshallah, that in our masjid, from our halqa, 5 jamaats, 6 jamaats, 10 jamaats, whatever it is, let us try and make intention, inshallah. Spingo Hills? Spingo Hills, 3 jamaats, inshallah. Let us speak like that, inshallah. Next, inshallah, Shalkuras, 2 jamaats, inshallah. Next, MashaAllah. Next, Spingo Beach? Three jamaats, Spingo Beach got 100 workers, 3 jamaats. Something wrong there, but that's not adding up. MashaAllah. Ji, next. Hamara kaam hum bekar hai, you know. Whatever we get, we take now. We can't see nothing. Next. Who else, MashaAllah? Ji, who else? MashaAllah. Chatswood? 5 jamaats. Chatswood giving 5 jamaats. MashaAllah. Allah accept, MashaAllah. Who else, my dear respected brothers? MashaAllah. All these intentions we make, Allah accept. MashaAllah. Ashraf, 3 jamaats, inshaAllah. So, I'm not so good in maths, but I don't think we hit 20 also at the moment. We need to hit at least 100 minimum to catch up last year, and then over that, inshaAllah. We'll all make effort in our localities, inshaAllah. My dear respected brothers, our elders, MashaAllah. Marisburg, 5 jamaats, Marisburg, inshaAllah. From the old workers' jor, the fikr that was coming out is with regard to Masturat fikr, Masturat effort. Where we are 13,000 ulama, people that spend chilla, people that spend 4 months, 13,000 of us. From this 13,000, only 1,000 have taken the Masturat out. So there's a huge deficit of 12,000. So the fikr of the elders was how we can close this gap and how we can take our Masturat out, those that haven't fulfilled the kawaif, to take the Masturat out for 3 days, 10 days, and then for chilla to Pakistan. So who's ready, inshallah, to say that after we have fulfilled our kawaif, we are ready to go for chilla, inshallah. Chalo, let's make intention, inshallah. MashaAllah. Molana, MashaAllah. Who else? Varaji, MashaAllah. Who else? Every masjid should make intention, inshallah, to take out one Masturat Jamaat. Minimum. MashaAllah. Spingo Hills, MashaAllah. Who else, my dear respected brothers? Now a car guzari came. That despite the conditions in Palestine, 50 Jamaats have gone to USA. 50, not one, not two. 50 Jamaats. What excuse do we have? Do we have any excuse? Despite the halat being upon them, such conditions coming upon them, they're still moving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they have full yaqeen in this work that our najat and our salvation and the help of Allah will come if we continue with this effort. MashaAllah, who else? For this Masturat fikr, who else is ready, inshaAllah? Those of us that haven't fulfilled the time, haven't taken our Masturat, now's the opportunity, inshaAllah. Who else, my dear respected brothers? One person can't make a Jamaat. Ji, MashaAllah. Hafiz Zakaria. MashaAllah. Who else? Hafiz Zakaria, inshaAllah. After he gets the Masturat, inshaAllah. Make dua, he gets the Masturat. MashaAllah. Who else? Who else, my dear respected brothers? Ji. Marisburg, Bolo. Spingo Beach, Bolo. Masturat Jamaat. At least one Jamaat per Masjid. Minimum one Jamaat. We make our intention, after that we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give us the Jamaat. But if we don't even make intention, MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Cannon Road, one Jamaat. InshaAllah. Cannon Road, one Jamaat, inshaAllah. Who else? MashaAllah. Masjid Salihin, one Jamaat. Masturat Jamaat, inshaAllah. Who else? Sherwood, one Masturat Jamaat, MashaAllah. Like this, let's speak masjid-wise, makes things easier, inshallah. We make the intention, and then we make the effort after that. Businessman opens a shop, his intention to make money. He opens a shop, and the rest leaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a business also. We make the intention, make the effort, and the rest to Allah. Allah will give us, inshallah. Who else, my dear respected brothers? Tashkeel is heavy on the heart, heavy on the mind. How I'm going to go, what people are going to say, how I'm going to leave my family, how I'm going to leave my business. We make the intention, Allah will open up the doors. MashaAllah. Ashraf. MashaAllah. Hafiz Ab. Paddock. One Jamaat. Paddock, one Jamaat, inshaAllah. So my dear respected brothers, Alhamdulillah, we find that now is the season for our students, jors also. And after that, the main students' istima, our annual students' istima, will take place here on the 29th of November. So in order for this istima, we have to have our jors in our halkas, in our masjids for our local students. And from there, we give them dawah towards the main istima, the students' istima that's going to take place here. So we find that when this system goes into place, then alhamdulillah, the majma comes, effort has been made before the program, effort has been made 1 month before the istima, and continuously during the course of the exams, the reminders are given, etc. And then we find that the students are made ready and their minds are made up to spend some time in the path of Allah. So, whether it's a full chilla, those that are nearing matric now, then it's grade 10, grade 11, they should be, their tashkil should be a full chilla. Because once they finish grade 12, the tashkil must be made for 4 months. And those that are in lower grades, their tashkil should be made for 10 days, depending on the length of the holiday. If the students are ready for 10 days, we take them out for 10 days. 20 days, take them out for 20 days. 3 days, take them out for 30 days. Whatever time they can give. Because the holidays will be spent just whiling the time away. Put them into an environment where some fikr comes into them, where some deen comes into them. The reports that we are getting, even Jummah Salah, in some schools, the parents are refusing to send their children, although all the arrangements are made. But the child is refused permission from the parents to go for Jummah. What conditions are coming upon us? So my dear respected brothers, which masjid will say inshallah they will make effort in this regard? And let us make kamil jamaats, complete jamaats. There's no factory here where we can produce zimmedars to take these jamaats out. So, from our masjids, we make complete jamaats. 5-6 youngsters, 2 puranas, 8-9-10 people. 1 jamaat, come here, present yourself, how many days, and a route will be given, and you proceed in the path of Allah. So here again we speak masjid-wise, inshallah. How many students, jamaats, can each masjid give us, inshallah? Let us start, inshallah. Swingo Hills, 1 student's jamaat, mashallah. Swingo Hills, Swingo Beach, 1 student's jamaat, inshallah. Who else, my dear respected brothers? Which masjid? Masjid Dawood, 1 student's jamaat, mashallah. Who else, my dear? Marisburg, 2 students jamaat, mashallah, 2 jamaats. Who else, my dear respected brothers? Let us make fikr. We are sitting here today, we already gone grey. Our time is nearly up. Who's going to take up after us? The youngsters, they will take up after us. The young people that have the shabab, the youth, have the strength, have the energy, they can take this deen forward, inshallah. So we have to take them out, nurture them, give them tarbiyat, and whatever pranks they play upon us, to take it with a light heart and to make think about the future, that how this youngster in the future can be an asset to the deen of Allah. Who else, my dear respected brothers? Which other masjids will see, inshallah, then make effort? So, my Glen Road, mashallah. Oh. So, my dear respected brothers, let us, tonight is a night of fikr, let us engage in the various amals that are taking place. After Isha will be the Hayatul Sahaba, after Fajr will be the final program for the Shab Guzari. In the night, let us resort to dua and amal, tahajjud, dua, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever intentions have been made now, Allah accept those intentions and bring those jamaats into existence, inshallah. All those who made intentions, and let us stand up and proceed to the right hand side of the masjid, inshallah. Let us stand up. All those who made intentions, let us stand up, inshallah. Inshallah, more and more made intention. Let us all stand up, inshallah. Proceed to the right-hand side of the masjid, inshallah. And from there, your names will be taken down and, inshallah, some fikr will be made. Now, inshallah, let us sit in our halkas. Azan will be at 5 past, in the next 14 minutes, 5 past 8. Let us make some fikr. That how we can, whatever was discussed, whatever was told to us, how we can bring it into existence, inshallah. Let us sit in the various halkas, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.